Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Newsroom's Mark Delder this morning. Kia ora, Mark. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. There's lots happening at the moment. Particularly, we're seeing some big sort of announcements or, forecasting from the government, which we're going to talk a wee bit about this morning. Let's start with the Prime Minister himself, because he's been laying out his priority list for the next 3 months, which I would be interested in even getting your thoughts to start off with about what does this priority list actually mean? Is this something that we usually see Prime Ministers, you know, set out an agenda for? And is it any different to something like the 100-day sort of plan that governments often have? What is your kind of, I guess, initial opinion about this priority list as a thing in and of itself?
Yeah, I think the priority list, like you've sort of suggested, is a novel tool in one way. It's very similar to the 100-day plan, which we do see, used by multiple different governments, not just this one. That when Labour came in 2017, they had a 100-day plan, and potentially National before that in 2008. So it's, that in itself is not an uncommon tool, but usually once you finish that 100 days, you kind of get onto the business of governing without necessarily broadcasting things to the public in that precise of a way.
Yep.
But I think Luxon, A, because of his corporate background, but B, I think it is probably pretty good communication to be able to constantly have this plan that you're referring to, showing that you're getting things done. You know, it's got 36 points. Some of those points are pretty, low bars or things around just like taking a decision to do this or looking into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, it's still something that the government can point to so that the public understands that they're working on something. I think it's probably a pretty effective communication tool.
And what are we actually seeing are some of the most sort of notable points in this plan at the moment? What's standing out as being significant policy or significant goals?
Yeah, I think there is a lot in there. A lot of it is introducing legislation which will, sort out various of the policies from the coalition agreements and from National's campaign promises as well. So that's helpful because we'll get to see a lot more details about how some of that stuff is going to work. I think some of the things that have taken on the most attention are maybe some of the more vague commitments, like number 18 on the action plan is to, quote, raise the energy New Zealand brings to key relationships through international engagements, focusing on our traditional partners, the Pacific and Southeast and South Asia. So what does raise the energy mean?
Like, giggling there because I was just thinking, it's like sort of just saying vibes a little bit, isn't it? It's like, we're just going to bring some vibes to this, guys, you know. But is there any substance?
Winston Peters is raising energy in a substantial way from previous foreign ministers. But you're right. There's nothing really substantial there. One thing that has raised my eyebrows is that the government will take decisions on the removal of the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration.
Mm.
That terminology, take decisions, is used a few times throughout the plan, but usually for issues where there's quite a few complex sort of policy details still to nut out. This should be a pretty straightforward reversal of the ban. Maybe I'm being optimistic, but to me, I wonder whether it reads as the government maybe thinking about watering down their plans to change that ban, because it has been the subject of quite a bit of sort of diplomatic consternation, mm-hmm. particularly from our partners in the Pacific, as well as sort of domestic concern as well. And so I wonder if they're just looking at that policy and thinking maybe there's something we can do to tweak that. But maybe I'm reading way too much into two words.
It is something that has been sort of pointed out about this plan, is it is, as you've already mentioned, quite a corporate way of approaching policy, or just sort of even the way that government works, which is something that Luxon has been criticised for a lot by the left. Chloe Swarbrick, now new co-leader of the Greens, has written an article this week saying it's not the way to run a country and it's not the way to run a democracy. What do you think we're actually seeing about Luxon's style of leadership? Because there's been much discussion about this in the lead up to the election, and now he's kind of settling into the role. What are we seeing from him as a prime minister?
Yeah, I think we haven't really had that many opportunities to see him take on the kind of leader of the nation kind of role that a PM needs to take on in a crisis or in response to a serious situation, thinking about things like Jacinda Ardern's response to March 15, to the Fakadi volcano, or to, you know, COVID, obviously, comes to mind. So we haven't quite had a chance to see him as that kind of leader, and I don't know how he will respond there. I don't think there's an inherent problem with this kind of plan, but the drawback is, at some stage, partway through your first term in government, you switch from doing the things that you campaigned on to responding to whatever are the problems the world has today. There might just be stuff that they campaigned on that becomes completely irrelevant because of economic or political or social changes,
yeah,
and other things that come up that they need to deal with. And so they might not have the wiggle room to continue doing these action plans and ticking off each of those boxes if they've got this unexpected stuff that starts coming up.
Mm. Well, let's move to talking a wee bit about the sort of budget forecasting that we're seeing. Our Finance Minister Nicola Willis has set out the government's priorities for the budget for 2024 and also given us a date now for Budget Day. What are some of the things that you're predicting we're going to see given what we've been hearing Nicola Willis talk about in the last week?
Yeah, I think that we are likely to see more cuts to public spending, and particularly, you know, in terms of public service staff numbers, than was kind of signaled before the election. And partly, I think that's because the government has taken a much more aggressive approach to seeking out those cuts, looking for this sort of 6.5 to 7.5% cut across the board, rather than targeting a narrower set of agencies that they had, that National had identified in its tax plan. And partly that's because due to coalition negotiations and updated costings and things that have come out since, a lot of the policy, the tax promises that they've made, it will turn out to be more expensive. The stuff that they are going to do to gain revenue will gather less revenue, or in the case of the foreign buyer tax, has been cancelled completely. And so they've got a bigger gap to fill, and the best way to do that for them is also going to be cutting public spending.
How do you think the public's response to the tax reductions is kind of playing out at the moment? Do you think that we're seeing a positive response broadly from New Zealanders? What is it sort of landing like, in your opinion, Mark?
Yeah, I suspect that there's some frustration around the government's kind of continual unwillingness to actually say that people will get the same tax reductions that they were promised at the election. We've kind of been on a bit of a roller coaster over the past couple of weeks, where a couple of weeks ago, the Prime Minister said at a press conference that he wouldn't commit to giving that same level of reduction. He said, you know, we're going to deliver tax reduction, but he wouldn't say it's going to be the same as what we promised. The next day, the Finance Minister, Nicola Willis, comes out and says, actually, no, we will give everyone the level that they were expecting from our campaign. And then with the release of this budget policy statement last week, Nicola Willis herself and the Prime Minister are now backtracking that again and saying, oh, we're going to deliver meaningful tax relief, but not saying it's going to be the same level as what was at the election.
Mm.
So I think there's some confusion there. Obviously, this was the centerpiece of National's campaign. People are still feeling it tough. And so particularly for people who weren't going to get a significant amount out of it anyways, you know, people without kids, you're talking, depending on their incomes, in the realm of maybe $20 a week. It helps, but if even that is in doubt, or the quantum of that is in doubt, it's probably pretty frustrating.
Mm, for sure. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Mark. Plenty to keep our eyes on at the moment. We will talk to you again in a couple of weeks' time. Cheers for speaking with us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.